Hi, friend, and welcome to the Brand Strategy Podcast, a show created to equip you with the inspiration, encouragement, and clarity you need to build the brand of your dreams. I'm your host, Bonnie Bakhtiari, brand designer, strategist, and founder of The Illume Retreat. From sustainable strategy to heartfelt encouragement, each episode is designed to equip you with the tools you need to chase after your dreams. Because you deserve a brand that empowers you to do what you love, connects with your dream clients, and offers a deep sense of fulfillment along the way. So grab a cup of coffee and join me on this journey, won't you? Hi friends, welcome back to the Brand Strategy Podcast, where today I am chatting with the founder and CEO of Gravy Solutions, Casey Graham, all about how to maximize recurring revenue retention within your business. So for those of us who have courses or membership sites or recurring subscriptions, we don't always consider how missed payments can take up so much of our time and energy. And in my experience, it can almost feel like another full-time job. So today, I'm really excited to be chatting with Casey about how, as entrepreneurs, we can essentially reclaim our time while maximizing revenue simultaneously. So Casey, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Bonnie, thank you so much. I'm fired up. I'm ready to get after it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, let's dive on in. Casey, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Gravy?
Yeah. So my name's Casey Graham. My wife's name is Casey Graham. We're both Casey and Casey. And I always say that because if I don't, I'll forget and I'll be sharing a story about Casey did this and Casey did that. And I'm not talking about myself in third person. So that's me. My wife, been married for 16 years. I've got two kids, a 12 and a 8-year-old that are awesome. So by day, I'm the CEO and co-founder of Gravy. We return failed credit card transactions and customers who want to churn back to businesses so that our clients can have their customers for a longer period of time and, you know, ultimately get a customer lifetime value increased. And so that's what we do at Gravy. And that's me.
I love that. Thanks so much for sharing that. With Gravy, how long have y'all been around? I feel like so many of my sweet industry friends, I've heard about Gravy through them and through their own experiences, but remind me again how long y'all have been on the scene.
We just celebrated our 3rd year anniversary, May 1st.
Oh, congratulations. That's such a great milestone.
Absolutely. What's more exciting was I remember sitting in May 3 years ago and I wrote what's called a vivid vision out of where we would be and, you know, who we'd be serving. And it was just a clear as day, go into the future. And I had no idea how the world we were going to do that. Because when you're starting, everything feels so big and everything feels so lofty. And it's just like this, is this some stupid another thing I'm writing on a sheet of paper? And what's crazy is we hit the exact mark that I wrote down. It was just the random numbers and random things. And it all came together. And so we're having a big celebration coming up this August in New Orleans. And we're going to celebrate together as a team and a staff of returning by that time, $100 million back to businesses that we serve. And our big vision is to return $1 billion back to businesses. But the first milestone and step was $100 million. And we have achieved that.
That is so amazing. I mean, congratulations at having such a beautiful and dramatic impact in the lives of your clients. That is so inspiring to hear.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we wanted to be set up as. Because, I mean, listen, Bonnie, I hate outsourcing stuff. Like I love owning, and you know, I may be a little different than listeners or maybe congruent with them, but I like owning the, you know, skill sets internally and doing everything internally. And then I ended up starting an outsourcing company. but what I didn't like about them was that I felt like the outsourcing company would get paid even if I didn't. Like I was just paying them, and if they were successful or not successful, they still got paid. And I was like, well, that's not true in any other area of life. And so the way we did it was, hey, the way we're going to get paid is we don't get paid anything unless our client gets paid first. And we want to align our revenue model with the success of the client first, then we're successful. And that's how we started this thing. And man, it's just worked out well.
That is so incredible. So you kind of spoke to this a little bit, but how did you really get Gravy off the ground? How did this idea come about? Was this just a big need that you saw in the industry, or this idea that kind of came to you?
Very simply, I've started, grown, and sold three companies over the last 12 years. And the last company that we had grown, I was there for about 7 years as the CEO, and we grew it and we were about to exit the company. And the people who wanted to buy the company kept looking into the financials and they were going like, why is there so much failed payments happening and customers churning around these months? And as we went down the wormhole and started digging around, we started realizing that, crap, this is a huge, we're losing six figures a year. And so essentially what we did at that company is we fixed it. And I just assumed that every entrepreneur would do that and that every entrepreneur would go fix it, you know, this and the other. But what I didn't realize is that we had the resources and the time to do it. And a lot of entrepreneurs that are growing their businesses, they don't have the revenue yet or the time yet to be able to fix it. And so that's where the idea came from, is we fixed it at our last company. And then I called my friend, do you know Amy Porterfield?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so Amy's a friend of mine. And I called Amy. I said, Amy, let me see what's happening with your failed payments. And they'd never really paid attention to it. And so we went in the back in the first year. Like the way it came about is I said, will you do this with me? And if we're successful, we get paid, but you get all the money back first. And she was like, of course I will. And so we started and we returned $653,000 of net profit to Amy's business in the first year.
That is amazing.
That was just money being lost, just gone, just out. And we were like, and then so we didn't even start marketing. And she started telling people and then it started spreading and we had other clients and the rest is history.
That is so amazing. I love how so often the way that our businesses come to be, we see a need that to us, it seems like there's a simple solution, right? It's utilizing a certain skill set or a method or a thought process that might kind of come naturally to us. But when we share it with friends, when we share it with others, it's kind of like we see the light bulbs turning on over and over and over again. And that validation of, oh, wow, this is something I can do and I can utilize to really make a difference. I feel like that's such a powerful way to see things come full circle. So that is such an incredible origin story, essentially.
Thank you. Bonnie, you're such a delight just to talk to. You're like a great podcaster. This is awesome.
Thank you so much, Casey. I really appreciate that. I actually, for those who have been tuning in for a long amount of time, you probably have heard that I majored in journalism with an emphasis in news editorial. So I actually was a totally accidental entrepreneur back in 2012. But I have always been super grateful for what I learned in some of my like journalism 101 classes about how to talk to people and how to interview people, because that has been a skill set that has brought so much joy into my life of just getting to have fantastic conversations with people. And so, Casey, I'm just so grateful that we're getting a chance to learn a little bit more about each other and really dive into this together on the podcast. And something that you shared with me a minute ago kind of sparked something in my mind. So I know that you said you were talking with Amy and you saw that in her business, there was this massive amount of profit that was just going down the drain. And she and her team weren't really thinking about it, wasn't even on their radar. In your experience with your current clients, where do you see entrepreneurs who might offer courses or memberships, those of us who have that monthly recurring revenue coming in, where do you see us kind of wasting our time with retaining our clients, our customers, I should say?
Yeah, here's the big deal. When your business is smaller and growing, and what I see happening all the time is that entrepreneurs, they don't waste their time. Like they don't do it. Like they just kind of hope it happens, or they send like automated emails and hope people sign back up for the thing. We've all done that, right? Where we've been, you know, our credit card had a change, or we were traveling or whatever, and it said, hey, this won't go through, and here's the automated email. Well, what we think is that, oh, everybody's just going to do that, right? I mean, you know, they're going to click the link or whatever. But only about 10% of people will actually do that. And 90% of the people are going to go out the back door. And mm-hmm. so the time wasted is never wasting time to retain a customer. However, it's the mental waste that happens. And what I mean by that is, you're going to hear the stuff that Gravy hears all the time of people saying, you know, it's the adult version of the dog ate my homework, which is all the excuses or why they don't want to, or, you know, all this stuff. And that stuff weighs on you. Like one bad comment about your service or product or offering weighs more than 100 good comments. And you'll think about it. And so we see too many entrepreneurs wasting too much time hearing from the crazy 5%. And so getting that off your plate and getting those details off your plate so that you can focus on growing your business is where you should be. So number one is getting out of the sewage of mad people or people that they tell you they're going to quit. Just, I want to quit is even like, you need to know that, but you don't need to hear every single one of them, right? So, So that's a buffer that we provide to the entrepreneur. The second thing is when you think about this, Bonnie, if you really think about it, is that as an entrepreneur, until your sales hit 1 million, you have one job. It's sales, period. Marketing and sales. Like you, as the entrepreneur, have got to get the company beyond 1 million. But so that's what you need to focus on. And you need to be focusing on activities that will scale your sales. Now, recovering failed payments is not scalable in the sense of, yes, you get the customer back. But if you spend your time doing that, it's not like you can get a 10x return on that. If there's $10,000 in failed payments, there's only $10,000 in failed payments. Like you can't 10x that. But with marketing and sales and offers and hooks and copywriting, you can 10x your sales. So you need to spend your time on the front end of the business doing that. And then once you get from 1 to 3 million, you start building out a leadership team and setting your vision for where you want to go. And from 3 to 10 million, you build out executive leadership teams in all of the different areas. And that's kind of the pathway of the entrepreneur. But I see so many people get stuck trying to do too much too early, and it weighs them down. And that's why you think you're stuck in your business, because my market, or they won't buy, or this, that, and the other. But oftentimes the number one reason, I've coached over 1,000 small business owners in the last 12 years. And the number one reason people are stuck is that they are doing too much as the entrepreneur. And so this is one of those items that you need to get off your plate and focus on only what you can do.
That idea that we're just unintentionally sabotaging ourselves by packing too much stuff onto our plates, that can be so convicting. And I remember when I was starting to dip my toe into just outsourcing. You know, I was going from being a solopreneur to someone who, you know, I was going to bring on a virtual assistant, and I was going to bring on an associate designer, and, you know, starting to fill these roles. I remember just taking a mental inventory of all of the things that I filled my time with, all of the things that I had to do to keep my business running. And how much of that, looking at that, how much of that was not stuff that I had to do? And I unintentionally was kind of like buying into this. I don't know what it was. It was kind of, I guess, a part of me that like I liked to retain the control of all the things. But also I was unintentionally getting in my own way because I was telling myself this lie that like I'm the only one that can do these things. But realistically, there's so many other talented people who I could partner with or I could hire. I could then delegate those tasks to them, and then I could pour more of my active time, more of my active mental energy, and dare I say it, more creativity into doing more of what I love and more at what will propel my company forward. So what I hear you saying is that something that seems really simple, right? Customer retention, recovering monthly revenue, that's something that seems kind of simple. But when we look at it, when we look at the kind of ripple effect that it has, when we choose to take the leap and trust someone else to do that for our businesses, we're not only saving time and energy, but we're actually making a decision that can empower us to scale our company, right?
That's right. And the exercise that I go through is I don't just do a mental inventory of what I'm doing and not doing. I write it down. And so for what the listeners could do, no matter what business you're in, no matter what stage you're in, whether you're just starting off, whether it's a side hustle, or whether you're scaling up and you're a $100 million CEO or anywhere in between, is essentially for about 2 weeks or 10 working days, every 15 minutes, have an alarm on your phone that goes off and simply either voice memo or jot down, depending on how you like to do it, exactly what you did the last 15 minutes. And people think that's annoying and this, that, and the other, and it's really not. Or you can do the last 30 minutes if you wanted to, but don't do more than that, because we forget all the little details that we do. Like, I opened my inbox, I went to the bathroom, and I called my mom. Like, that needs to be in there, like all of it, you know? So the point of that is then you organize it in $10 an hour activity, $100 an hour activity, $1,000 an hour activity, $10,000 an hour activity. Meaning, how could you get somebody to do that for $10 an hour or whatever? You can make it $20 and that kind of thing. And so I bucket then all of that, and I spend all of my time, and I look, and usually about 80% of my time gets gobbled up doing things that are $1,000 an hour and below. And all of those things, everybody goes, well, then what do I do? Well, that's the job descriptions, or that's the outsource partners that you go and you take those component pieces and you piece those out to. And then the number one excuse I get is, well, I don't have the money to do that. Well, you're never going to have the money to make the first hire. You're never going to have the money to do the things. But the reality is, until you do that, until you take the risk, you'll never get to where you want to go. And you'll just tell yourself a story in your head about why you're stuck. But the reason you're stuck is simply that you're doing the wrong activities.
That's such good advice. And that kind of reminds me of this adage that, you know, sometimes we tell ourselves it's too expensive to invest, but if we actually took the time to calculate the cost of how expensive it would be to not invest, that makes that initial investment seem so much more achievable. So I can totally resonate with what you're sharing there. Out of curiosity, after your clients sign up with Gravy and they start delegating the task of customer retention, what kind of growth do you see in their businesses? Do you get to hear how that's impacting their lives, or how that's impacting the kind of change or growth they might be able to experience?
Yeah, the biggest thing, if you really think about this, Bonnie, 88% of all books in business are written in the genre of sales and marketing. Did you know that?
I believe it. I did not know that figure, but I totally believe it.
So if there's 88% doing that, there's only 12% on other topics. And if you really think about it, 88% of our time as entrepreneurs is thinking about how do we grow or get new, you know, clients and all that kind of stuff, which is awesome. But if you think about this, 88% of all of the benefits you want from business come from keeping clients staying and paying for a long period of time. Because the number one thing people say they want is freedom, whether it's time freedom, money freedom, option freedom, whatever it is on the back end of the business. And so it's funny to me that we spend all of our energy on the front end, but all of the benefits come on the back end, but we really never structured or think about it in that kind of way. And so every single business I've ever worked in, we always try to ask, how do we increase lifetime value of the customer? Because that gives you as the entrepreneur what you ultimately want, which is a valuable business to you, or if you're going to sell it, it gives you more profit, it gives you more time, more freedom, and all that stuff. And so what we say is, what the big vision of Gravy is we accelerate freedom for entrepreneurs. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. We accelerate their freedom. And so what it does, it frees them up mentally, puts more money back into their pocket. But what we're able to do is see holes in the business. So what I love to do, what we love to do, is that we process now close to 3 million customer interactions in the last 3 years. And so we get to hear and see what is happening with the customer base. And then we bubble that up to the entrepreneur. And so if they're saying they love this thing, then we can say, hey, entrepreneur, here's the thing they say they love. Double down on that in your copywriting and your offering because they love this. Or here's the pricing, or here's an offer we made to a customer, but this offer could work on the front end of the business. And so that's what we're able to do, is be like eyes and ears on the ground, dealing with the minutia and the every single day. But that minutia isn't just to get a payment, it's to listen. And we listen to what's said and we listen to what's not said, and we give it back to the entrepreneur. So that's what we feel like our job and our role is. And that's the kind of growth. And that's how we're able to help the entrepreneurs grow.
Wow. I am so blown away by that. The amount of value that that process adds to your clients, to the way that they're doing business, the way that they're problem solving and approaching some of those front end offers. That to me is just mind blowing in a way of, yes, like when we, you know, kind of talk about the idea of customer retention, we might put it in this neat little box over here and think that, okay, that just means that I'm going to have someone who is emailing my customers who have failed credit card payments each month, and they're going to be like taking care of that for me. But realistically, if you think about how the team that you have assembled, they're doing that, but they're doing so much more. That is such an incredible experience and such an incredible offer that brings, to me, exponential amounts of value to the lives of your clients. So the way that I see that is when you sign on a new client, yes, you're helping them, you know, kind of create that financial freedom, but just like you said, accelerate freedom in other areas of their life and their business. That seems like such an easy choice in my mind. So thanks for diving into that a little bit. That's really, really encouraging to hear.
Absolutely.
So from here, something that I always like to ask whenever I have someone on the podcast, I'm always curious to hear, in your experience, what kind of encouragement or advice you would share to someone who's ready to get started with this. So in today's case, we're talking about the seemingly unglamorous task of customer retention and failed recurring payments. So what kind of encouragement would you share to the entrepreneur who is ready to take that leap and finally get that very unpleasant task off their plate?
Oh, well, that's simple. Like, we have a simple way that we work. Here's how it works. If you're a business, it's three things. Number one is you get 10% of failed payments that you have. Let's say you have $1,000 of failed payments. Gravy will literally pay you to work for you. And what I mean by that is, if you have $1,000 of failed payments, every month I will write you a check for 10% of that for $100, guaranteed cash that we pay you to work with you. Nobody will do that. You go, well, why do you do that? Because for the last 3 years, we've built the confidence to know we can take the risk to do it, because we're betting on ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're saying we'll pay you to work with you. So you get 10%. The only thing we earn is we just get one payment back if we win a customer back. That's it. So if it's $100, we get the $100 because we want them back for 1 month. And then you keep all of the rest of the $100 that they pay you into the future. You keep all of the lifetime value. And so we will pay you to work with you 10% guaranteed. We only get paid if we earn something. And then you keep the customers forever. And so that's what we do. And then people would say, okay, so how does this work? It means that we email inside of your brand. We have your email address and domain. You get to approve all the copy that we use and all that to make sure it's on point with your brands. And I mean, we work with people like Tony Robbins and Amy Porterfield and, you know, Kajabi's been a client and all these different people. So it's not like, I mean, these are very, very brand conscious people. And so we work inside of your brand. We call it brand integrity. So nobody knows Gravy exists, and we win customers back for you. And we only get paid if we do well, and that's it. And so that's how simple it is. And that's how it works.
That's fantastic. I love hearing a little bit about that. And I think that to some of the listeners today, that might almost feel a little too good to be true. But to me, that just speaks to the level of confidence that you have cultivated as a team around your approach and around the work that you do, where you're so confident and so self-assured in the results you're able to deliver, that to you, that doesn't feel like a risk to offer that kind of a generous opportunity to your clients.
Well, I mean, here's what I love about what I do and what I would say for, we lost zero clients through the COVID crisis.
Wow.
Zero. And what that said to me was, what Gravy does and what you need to think about from your business is this way. I'm talking about Gravy, but you translate it for you or your businesses. Mm-hmm. We made the cut of, is this essential or not, because of one thing. It's black and white, and it is revenue. So it's not like a logo where you could go, well, I kind of like that, or I don't, or a VA where it's like, well, I can do this with that, or I couldn't. It's like, no, we're putting, like, this is how much failed, this is how much more money you made, and this is how much more money you get to keep in life. Like, there's no ambiguity. And it's connected to the revenue. And so for every business that is listening, I think every single business owner should think through, even if you're not connected to the revenue, how what you do impacts revenue, and quantify it and show the customer the quantifiable measurement of whatever it is that you do. And that's just a transferable principle that we've seen of when you're connected to the revenue, that's hard to cut out of a business. So that's very important.
Absolutely. I just so appreciate that advice. That's such fantastic insight. So Casey, I know that people who've been tuning in today, they are going to want to connect with you and the Gravy team. They're going to want to follow along with you online. So what social platforms are you guys on? How can people connect with you?
Yeah. Where I am is LinkedIn. I'm at Casey Graham, and I put content on LinkedIn all the time. Try to be as helpful as possible. Obviously gravysolutions.io, gravysolutions.io, is our website. And then, you know, we have Instagram and, you know, all the other stuff, but, that's where you can find us.
Awesome. And to those who are listening, as always, I will make sure to have all of those linked in today's show notes. So if you just want to head to brandstrategypodcast.com, click on the show notes for today's episode, you will find not only the notes, but all the resources that Casey and I have discussed today. And of course, I will also be sharing more about that really amazing offer, Casey, that you shared, the you get, we earn, you keep concept.
That's right.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I have really enjoyed getting to chat with you. I feel like this has been such a helpful conversation for those who have courses, memberships, or recurring subscriptions, even for those who are tuning in who they aren't quite at that point yet where they have decided to dip their toe into offers of that nature. I feel like this has been such a great conversation that can really challenge us to step into more of a sense of ownership over where our revenue is generated and how we can continue to maximize that revenue. So Casey, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. And thank you so much for being a part of the Brand Strategy Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me today, friend. Before you go, I would be so grateful to receive your feedback on the Brand Strategy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode or the podcast in general has helped you grow your brand, I'd really appreciate it if you left us a review in iTunes. Your positive reviews enable the Brand Strategy Podcast to continue to grow and reach like-minded creatives just like you. Plus, I'll be randomly selecting a handful of lucky reviewers each month to receive a little thank you surprise for me in the mail. Thank you for all your support and encouragement as together we pursue building brands with purpose and intention. Until next time, I'm cheering you on from Waco.